Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in today for Lori Walsh. COVID-19 continues to dominate the headlines. There's COVID-19 in our schools and on our campuses. COVID-19 cases are popping up at a rate more rapid than our recoveries. And COVID-19 continues to hold court in the political arena. So that makes it a good time to gather our political junkies. This week, we welcome former South Dakota State Senator Tom Dempster. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Hey, Jackie. Good to be here.
And joining us in the Tom and Danielle Ammon Foundation studio in Aberdeen is Northern State University Professor of Political Science, John Schaff. Good to have you back, John Schaff. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jackie. Good to be here.
So, John, I think let's start with schools and start with higher ed, since you're there.
Yes, I am.
Tell us how the first few weeks of school have been going at Northern State, and how COVID's playing into the college scene.
Well, it's, you know, in artificial intelligence and robotics, there's a term called the uncanny valley, which is that point right when something is human enough that it's very human but not quite human, and it gives us this unquiet, it gives us this unease when something is so close to being human but not quite there, and we're so close to normality but we're not quite there. we're teaching classes here at Northern, but no, everybody's got a mask on or at least some kind of face covering. I teach in a face shield. Many of us, including myself, are using kind of a hybrid, we call it high flex, way of teaching. So most of my students are in the classroom, but some of them are tuning in via Zoom, especially those, which we can talk about this. There are some who are in isolation and quarantine because of COVID-related things. And so we are accommodating them by giving them ability to stream. And then, of course, I record these as well and throw them online so the students can watch them later. And so things are normal, but every class is a sort of this kind of a strange experience, especially because my students all have masks on and I can't see their faces. And so when in my freshman classes in particular, where I don't know these students yet, it's a strange feeling of trying to get to know people while this very important part of getting to know them is covered, their faces. But nonetheless, I think I'm pleasantly surprised at how well it's going. Yeah. And I think things are going in reality about as well as they could realistically occur.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see after at first it looked like we weren't really going to have a good way to keep a pulse of how cases and quarantining and all those other numbers that people like to know about the coronavirus right now. We didn't think we were going to see that for individual campuses, and then that was rolled out about within a week or so of classes starting. Not so with K-12. The Argus Leader put out an article not too long ago about basically we don't know which schools have COVID because the state won't tell us. Tom Dempster, I want to bring you into this conversation. What are your thoughts on the ways we are or are not communicating where COVID-19 cases are occurring?
Well, Jackie, I'm glad to hear that we're in the uncanny valley, that we're having some success within that uncanny valley. I'm more troubled than that. In the United States, we have 4% of the world's population and 20% of the world's deaths. We're the fourth highest death rate per capita. In South Dakota, our effective reproduction rate is the highest in the country, as measured by RT.live. Our positive test rate are three times that than what it is in per capita, than what it is in the United States. And we have in South Dakota, we have the 10th lowest per capita testing rate. I'm a believer that any time a public official talks, it ought to be viewed as an assertion. We have accepted the assertion. I think that we are largely okay, and that it's okay to manage a COVID response with respect to our hospitalization usage. That's old news, in my opinion. That's the sort of thing that we sought to manage way back when COVID would engulf us in a prairie fire. We've now discovered that it's not a huge fire, but it's a continuing and an ever-present burn. And I think it's time for us as citizens, for us as legislators, for those in public office to say, we must smother this thing. Hmm. If we don't, we're going to be well on our way to herd immunity, and that's a catastrophic process in terms of trying to deal with COVID. Hmm. Sorry to be so blunt.
That's why we like to have you on. Sometimes we've got to shoot straight with these things. Tom, because you allude to basically anyone in office should be managing this. There's no avoiding bringing up Governor Kristi Noem spoke at the Republican National Convention last week, just before it was public knowledge that we were seeing record-breaking increases of COVID-19 cases in our state. Her address at the National Convention did not cover COVID. When she spoke at the Sioux Falls Downtown Rotary Club this week, when asked about these cases, she said, I don't think any of this is a surprise. For the last several months, I've told people we'll get more cases. We know we can't stop the virus. Now we can slow it down and bend our curve, which is what we did. And she says we're going to continue to focus on that hospitalization rate. Tom and John, I'll bring you in after I hear from Tom. But I'm curious, Tom, what you make of this approach that the governor is taking.
Jackie, that's precisely my point. Governor, no one dealing with this pandemic is perfect for certain. Mm. But that's precisely my point. It is time for us to change the goal. I mean, controlling our hospitalization rate says, oh, my goodness, we've won, or we're winning. That builds a sense of complacency throughout the entire state that it's okay to welcome gleefully anyone and everyone that we want to come in, and no one should even wear a mask. I have my son-in-law is the medical director of a hospital in Yakima, Washington, which a month and a half to 2 months ago was one of the worst outbreaks in the country, similar to us now. Yakima has put in a mandatory mask program, and yesterday or the day before, I think Yakima had only one positive case. We will never in South Dakota say that you must wear a mask, but to build the public expectation to care and love for one another, it is absolutely time, in my opinion, sorry to be so explicit, in my opinion, to say, put on, when you're in a public place, and especially when you're in a, or when you're in a public place inside, for goodness sakes, put on a mask.
John Schaff, give us your perspective on this one from a political science standpoint. Sure, we throw around unprecedented times all the time, but when we think about some kind of crisis communication and leadership from that perspective, what do you make of the governor's approach?
Oh, I'd love to get some precedented times. Those would be nice. Those are the good old days.
What a relief it would be.
but unfortunately, we live in very interesting times, so that's what we have to deal with. Mm. I think what Tom's getting at, the question is, if we take what Tom is saying to heart, what exactly do we do other than we can do mask mandates? That might be something we might want to consider. And what else can we do? Because it seems to me one of the things that is driving our recent outbreak is precisely young people. What has happened as we've gone back to school and including our campuses, young people are getting COVID at a much higher rate, but it's also the part of the population which is the least affected by COVID. They can handle it better than anybody. If you can go to the South Dakota COVID website or from our Department of Health, and the death rate is infinitesimal. It's literally as of yesterday, because I looked it up, it is 0.005%. So that's very low. Then it's a question of how much do we adjust our lives? And the political science perspective is that there are always clashes of principles and of what do we want, right? We've got various goods that we're trying to balance, and they come. So we want some freedom. We want to move about as we will. Like, for example, here we want to have school. We know that there are all sorts of costs to not having school, to if we close the universities and we did it virtually, if we close K through 12 and we did it virtually, there are all sorts of costs to that. If we do some kind of hard reset and go back into isolation, there are all sorts of negative health consequences to that. And so politicians have to weigh these varying goods. Then it's up to us to adjudicate whether we think, you know, with our own sense of which goods we want to balance and which goods we value higher than other goods, whether our politicians are doing the right thing. I guess I disagree with Tom. I think that a focus on hospitalization is really the way to go, because I think the governor, this sense, is mostly right, is that there's no way to stop COVID dead in its tracks. We're not going to get down to zero. So it's a matter of, can we manage it while it not having a major impact on public health? And I think death and hospitalizations are probably the best way to measure that.
Hmm. Tom, do you have a kind of counterpoint or response to that?
Certainly I do. Putting on a mask, especially putting on a mask as your responsibility of a citizen, is an all reward, just about zero risk. I'm a risk reward guy. It's time to put on those masks. It's time to smother it as effectively as we possibly can, which of course we never will. But if we don't get it smothered, then we push the pandemic into pandemonium, or near to pandemonium, in many of our schools and many of our universities. That's needless.
I want to, maybe we'll take a break from COVID in some ways, depending on who you ask, but we're going to get into that. another note of Governor Noem's team has been defending a plan to add presidential sculptures to the Capitol building. This idea of adding 10-foot-tall statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt, the same faces, of course, on Mount Rushmore, in the Capitol Dome. Who wants to start with this one? John Schaff, what do you think? We're hearing about how kind of making Governor Noem has made the connection on Twitter about, you know, while other places are tearing down statues, we here in South Dakota are building them up to honor our American history. Where do you want to launch into this one, John?
Well, I'm very pro statue. what we make statues of is another question, but I like the idea of memorializing things that are important, and statues is one way to do that, because I think having a good historical memory is important. In normal times, we just got done saying we live in unprecedented times. But in precedented times, putting statues of those four figures in our state capitol would be about as uncontroversial as you could possibly get. But now it's controversial, and so it's not an accident. There's a lot of virtue, I think, to what the governor's team is suggesting. But we also you can't ignore that this didn't just come out of nowhere. Is that they're using statues as there's politics in the highest sense about, you know, what we hold dear. Then there's politics in the lowest sense of what is partisan. And one can't deny, and you know, most politics is usually a mixture of both of those things, the high and the low. That there is an attempt here to take advantage of national conversation about statues and trying to push some buttons. Though if we get more statues of historical figures in our state capitol, so much the better. And if the motives aren't necessarily 100% grade A pure, I guess they're never going to be. And so let's have statues. And if we want to have statues of other people, that would be good too. That maybe have, that reflect different aspects of American and South Dakota history. That would be great too.
Tom, what say you?
John's exactly right. I, for one, am a...
Why don't we just stop right there with John's exactly right?
I, for one, am a Washington, am a Jefferson, and for sure am a Lincoln fan, for sure. I'm very comfortable and inspired every time I sit under their gaze at Rushmore. If we want to add them to the state capitol and pier, that's okay with me, though I do recognize the comment that it's probably done to push buttons perhaps as much as anything. But I'm definitely a Washington, definitely a Lincoln, definitely a Jefferson guy.
With this idea of varying motives for this, in the Argus Leader article, we see minority leader Representative Jamie Smith from the South Dakota House of Representatives pretty much saying, I don't think it's a great time to propose this with what's going on the national scene. It's an incendiary topic being used for political reasons. Just this morning, Governor Noem on her Facebook page posted a screenshot of that quote, said, quote, it's unfortunate that Democrats don't want to honor America's heroes, but if you agree with our efforts to celebrate our leaders, consider giving at freedom.sd.gov, the fundraising site for these statues. And then I couldn't help but giggle a little bit at one of the comments of someone saying, you know, by pointing out the Democrats don't want to honor America's heroes, you're proving their point that this is an incendiary topic. But basically what it comes down to, my final question for us is there any hope for us? John, you mentioned politics at their worst being what's partisan. Where do we go from here?
Well, there's always happy hour. That might be hope.
I'm ready.
But other than that, more seriously, you know, and this is a shame, and I understand what Governor Noem and the commenter you're talking about, Jackie, are saying is that people like, you know, Tom and I, we disagreed slightly on COVID, but we are simpatico on this, is that, you know, I'm a Lincoln man, I'm a Washington man, I'm less of a Jefferson man, but I still like Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt too. But these should be unifying figures. And so we don't have to whitewash or ignore that everybody, including our great historical figures, have negative aspects about them. And what we should be doing is using these things, these statues, and memorializing as unifying characters. And it's a shame that they end up becoming controversial. And, sure, I suppose maybe if we want to play the game of who started it, those who want to deconstruct American history and turn it into a history of grievances, maybe that's where it starts. But we don't have to then continue playing the game. And so hopefully in some ways we can – that's why I say if we're not entirely happy with those Mount Rushmore figures, you know, we can maybe start there, but we don't have to stop there. And we can find figures that represent all aspects of American history, and maybe in particular South Dakota history. But then, you know, use these figures as a way of what is the best of what, say, George Washington or Abraham Lincoln stood for, and maybe we can celebrate that and use this as a unifying moment instead of a divisive moment.
It's
hard to do these days.
Yeah. I'm afraid we're out of time there. We have to call it. My guests have been former South Dakota State Senator Tom Dent. I'm sorry. Like, my producers are yelling at me. I've got a timeout. I'm sorry. We'll bring it back another time. But my guests have been former South Dakota State Senator Tom Dempster and NSU political science professor John Schaff. I'd rather have Tom Dempster mad at me than my producers right now. So thank you both for being with me today. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Sorry, Tom.